Thank you, everybody, for being here. I'd like to call this meeting to order on March 28, 2022. This is our TPA Executive Committee meeting. Staff, if you could please call the roll so that we can establish a quorum.
Joelle Flores. And I'm sorry, Mayor, if you can, I forgot to remind you, turn on your microphone for the recording.
Present.
Thank you. Maria Marino.
Present.
Michael Napoleon.
I'm here.
Chelsea Reed.
Here.
Robert Weinroth is absent. We have a quorum in person, Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you very much. Are there any modifications to the agenda?
Yes, Madam. We are requesting the addition of comments from the chair and member comments as item 1E, an interim executive director's report as item 1F, and then the motion to approve the minutes will become item 1G. The agenda on the dais reflects those changes in underline, and then once approved, I can upload on our website a revised agenda as well.
Thank you. I'm seeking a motion to adopt the modified agenda after you've had a moment.
Okay,
thank you. Seconded. We're going to take a moment to review our chart.
Oh, I'm sorry if you can say all.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes. I'm going to take a moment to review our charge here as a committee. Pursuant to the TPA Operating Procedures Section 22F3, the Executive Committee shall meet as necessary to facilitate the process in hiring a new executive director, including but not limited to refining the job profile, evaluating candidates, recommending a candidate, and negotiating an employment agreement for our board's consideration. And then let's move on to general public comments. Instructions on how to provide public comments are included in the staff in this agenda, Staff, do we have any general comments that have been received or anyone waiting online?
Not at this time.
All right, so I would like to at this time invite any board member comments that are not already on the agenda. Nope, seeing none. All right, thank you. So I would like to move on to the interim executive director's report, please. I'd like to invite Valerie Nielsen, our interim executive director, to provide her report. And we've got the share screen up. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And I just prepared a couple slides because I realized today is 90 days since I've joined the TPA as the interim executive director. And I just wanted to highlight a few things that we've been working on with staff. We did do our joint annual certification for calendar year 2021. We presented our draft unified planning work program for fiscal years 23 and 24 that's coming up. We also approved the scope for our regional transportation plan with Miami-Dade and Broward at the CEFTEC meeting. We attended the MPOAC meeting, been working with them on a few things, including best practices and their freight and passenger rail plan with FDOT. We also hosted a webinar on the infrastructure law for our partners and have provided and are working with several of our partners for letters of support. And we're wrapping up Florida Bike Month, which was a great month. Thank you for all who participated, who helped us with the local proclamations and resolutions for Florida Bike Month. We also had two designations. We're the Florida Bicycle Association Bicycle Friendly Business of the Year for last year. Our ped bike coordinator helped us get that designation. And we also renewed our best workplaces for commuters. We've been working on our Vision Zero safety targets. We have now Belglade and Delray Beach now that have resolutions. And I believe Palm Beach Gardens and Wellington are working on theirs. We're going to be presenting to them later this week to Wellington. Still working on several corridor studies. We did our regional Safe Street Summit. We've been trying to recruit new members to our advisory committees. We conducted a peer exchange in Miami and have been doing several presentations to partner agents and groups about the TPA and about our initiatives and our mobility vision. So it's been a great 3 months. Next slide, please. And then upcoming things that are on the horizon, we are working, developing and strengthening our relationships with our economic development partners. This Thursday, we have an economic development and mobility panel presentation. And then I will also be participating in a Palm Beach County Economic Council leadership trip with some of our partners to visit Nashville and learn about some of their efforts and how what things we can bring back, including mobility and transportation, lessons learned, and also continuing the conversation on our 5-6-1 plan, our mobility vision. We're planning a Vision Zero workshop. We did one at the end of 2019, and now we're planning another one for the end of April. And continuing also planning a peer exchange with Austin, finalizing our UPWP, working on our long-range transportation plan scope. We have Connor who's helping with that, and continuing the 2050 regional transportation plan efforts, and also trying to increase coordination with PalmTran, SFRTA, Palm Beach County, and FDOT with more meetings, more collaboration on how we can work together. And I have also looked at some of our policies and procedures and would like to do a thorough review of that to make sure we are including all our best practices and having the right types of liability coverage for the agency. So those are some of the things I just wanted to highlight from my first 90 days. So thank you.
Commissioner Marino.
Just a quick question. I know that you had the peer-to-peer down in Miami. Is there a reason why SFRTA wasn't invited? Because I know Brightline was there and it would have been a good ask to have SFRTA there.
Sure. So the peer exchange was actually coordinated because of the conflict of the mobile tours from the Safe Street Summit that were scheduled at the same time as our board meeting in February. So I reached out to the TPO and I said, can we do a makeup mobile tour peer exchange down in Miami? And so they hosted us down there, and it was really more of a peer exchange with their MPO and how they're working with funding. We were hosted for the presentations at Brightline's offices, went to the TOD at Miami Brickell City Center, and then visited the Underline. So we really let them kind of take the lead on what they wanted to share with us. Our goal was to get 15 folks to join us. It ended up being we invited our board members. A few joined, others sent delegates, but it ended up being a pretty good mix. So,
okay. Thank you.
Welcome, Mayor.
Thank you, Valerie. Do we have any other comments or questions regarding our director's report? Point of indulgence for myself, a while ago, we had been collaborating with Palm Beach North and the TPA. We started about a year and a half ago. So thank you so much for the work you've been doing to work with the Chamber North as well and some of the initiatives and for speaking at our subcommittee the other day as well. And I'm going to now pass over the gavel to our chair. Mayor Robert Weinroth has arrived.
Thank you. And I apologize to my colleagues. It's been a busy day, which promises to be a busier day tomorrow. All right. Chair, where are we now at this point? Okay, very good. All right, so my vice chair points out that we have not approved the minutes yet. So does anybody have any discussion on the minutes? Seeing no discussion on the minutes, can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
I have a motion by Mayor Flores, second by Commissioner Marino. All in favor, all opposed? It's approved 5-0. 5, 1, 2, 3, 4. Are there 6 of us?
No, 5.
5.
5 on the odd number.
You can't count. Oh, you can't vote. All right, very good. Let's move on. All right. Let me ask for just a moment to just get an update of where we are with Slavin. Can someone give me some sort of a update? I'm glad to see you here, Mr. Slavin.
Chairman, if I may, would you like me to step down for this item?
No. So. You can sit here. You could. It's a public meeting.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the commission of the committee. I'm Bob Slavin. I've had the pleasure of speaking with each of you, and it's good to see you in person. We're really beginning the process. In order for the process to begin, our company has to have a pretty clear idea of what you're looking for in executive director, in your next executive director. The documents you have before you are pretty good descriptions of what this person does, what the job is, what the duties are, what the responsibilities are, and what the parameters are. In the job description, the Transportation Planning Agency, this document you have here, that is what I call a recruitment profile, and it tends to be a marketing tool, and it contains a lot of the information that the job description contains. But what I need from you folks is not necessarily a description of what this person does or what the job is, but how you want that person to do it. In other words, leadership characteristics, management characteristics, style, interaction with staff, interaction with you folks, with the full board, with the community. Those kind of characteristics aren't necessarily easy to describe on paper, but I'd like to have you folks share your thoughts. Some of you did in our individual conversations, but again, it's how, not what. The other thing is, we had initially planned for me to be here early on to meet with staff and then with you. The meeting with you is taking place today. I have not met with staff, but very much would like to do so. And my thought is, with your permission, that we schedule that and maybe schedule it virtually so that we can get it done quickly. I'm not going to be here. I leave tonight, and there's a boat show here. There's some other things going on here, and you've got spring break. So getting a hotel tonight was not, and getting flight arrangements was not easy. So I was advised to stick to what I have, and if it means coming back physically, I'll come back real soon. But I think in order to get this from where we are now to where we need to be in the near future, if you, assuming your permission for me to talk with your staff folks, we do it virtually. What I need from you is your thoughts about things like issues, things that the executive director is facing simply because it's here and now, opportunities, things that person will face, as I say, because it's Palm Beach County TPA now, things that you see that you'd like to have accomplished, opportunities, challenges, things that are going to face this person. I understand there's a sales tax issue that will be coming up within the next few years, and there's some other things that are pretty high profile on your list of things that are happening. I know what I know, but I don't know what I don't know. Interested in, it talks about education and experience. I'm interested in what kinds of special skills and talent and knowledges and what kind of special expertise might be of value to you folks, rather than simply saying that they need to have a college degree in certain areas, but rather worse, what focus do they need? Do they need a financial focus? Do they need a community relations focus? Whatever comes to your minds about what that person needs to bring with he or she, in addition to the criteria that's suggested in the profile. My one concern about the profile, and I didn't make this point before with staff, staff has been outstanding in working with me to put this together. It does have several places where it mentions Florida. And I think, depending on your thoughts, that would be my recommendation or advice, that Florida experience would be highly desirable, but I wouldn't make it absolutely necessary, because this day and age, we're having some difficulty finding sufficient quantity of people. And I'd like to cast the net for this job wider than Florida. There's a couple of places in this document that specify Florida. And I would like to soften that language to not exclude Florida, or to make it a preference, not a requirement. There's some language in there. This is about needing to be registered as a Florida lobbyist. Well, that can take place after the person's hired. Doesn't need to be a precondition of employment. That's a driver's license.
We're going to open up some discussion. I'm going to start before I recognize Mayor Flores. I'm going to say that I'm a little disappointed that we are at this point, at this time, that we haven't progressed further along, and that this meeting or this discussion hadn't been had a month ago. To be honest, and for operationally, this agency is hampered by the fact that it is operating under the interim executive director without full authority to make decisions, without having this committee have to bless some of the decisions that are being made by the interim. So I'm very disappointed that we are today having this discussion and that we're not further along on the search. That being said, Mayor Flores, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I guess I must echo your sentiments. I'm a little disappointed where we're at. It feels like what the consulting firm just asked us is very different than what we have in the agenda. I was only put into contact with Mr. Slavin because our fellow committee member, Commissioner Reed, informed me that the management company was looking to get a hold of me. I looked at my records, my phone, emails, everything. I can't find a single call. So I don't know why it's so hard to get a hold of me. When I spoke to Mr. Slavin, he referred to a recruitment profile questionnaire, which I'm assuming this is what you are referring to.
This is an internal document that we use in order to build a profile. Actually, this assumes that this has never been produced. So a lot of the information that I gained from using this document, I used to develop something like this. So I'm interested in not necessarily what's already in here, but things that style characteristics. Right.
So as you can imagine, this is complete a new document that I have never seen prior to this meeting. So I'm just curious to what has happened since we last met to this meeting. And obviously something got compiled, but it got compiled without our input. So I guess I'm looking for what has been the process since we last met to today, because I feel like I was blindsided last Wednesday.
And Mayor, again, I think from my understanding, and again, because our interim is being asked to step away from this process, I think Margie and the staff have been responsible for putting a lot of this together, both the information that's been sent to Slavin, including this brochure that I think, from what I'm understanding, was essentially the work product of the TPA. Am I correct, Margie?
Correct. Oh, sorry. Most of the information was the first few parts of it is information that's derived from products we already have within house, as far as what the TPA is, what it does. And then as far as the job description, it was a draft left by our exiting director.
Without putting you on the spot, can you give me some idea of how much time has been used by internal staff to prepare this brochure and the information that the Slavin management consultants asked you to prepare for them? In round numbers, 10 hours, 50 hours, 100 hours?
I guess maybe 20 hours between myself and our PR director who put the document together. I could be off on how much time, maybe less of her time. Maybe I'm being too conservative with it.
Okay, so this brochure is essentially the product of the TPA?
Yes, it's just copying and pasting from existing documents that has already been brought to the TPA.
Okay.
And why, I guess my question is, why wasn't this shared with us?
So the document you have in front of you was asked prior to this meeting to be printed and provided to you.
Okay.
So you understood what what Bob wanted you to have. And the other item on the dais that I provided for you was at your request, Mayor Flores, was a copy of Nick, our previous executive director's job description when he was originally retained by the county, which I believe was in 2013.
I guess my question is, where, other than today, because today is a motion to approve, but where was our input solicited?
Mr. Slavin, you certainly can pipe in.
First of all, the staff prepared this. We did not ask them to prepare it. Normally, we would do that, and I'm not being critical of anything, but this is our typically something that we would prepare. We didn't. It came to us as a draft for us to look at and tweak. So I was not disappointed to see it, but it's typically work that we would do, and we did not ask staff to do it. We were planning on doing it. The document you have, again, is something I use and would have used had I been here. When the first meeting was scheduled in for me to be here, it was to meet with staff and to meet with you folks, and I was asked to wait to meet with staff until after I met with you folks. Well, quite honestly, I don't know what caused this to take so long, but there were several times when meetings were attempted to be scheduled when I would be here to talk with you, and they didn't happen until now. So beyond that, I don't know why the scheduling was what it was, but as far as this is concerned, we did not ask that anybody do this. We had planned to do it. And in order to get to do this, we use this form to gather information from each of you. And you will notice that some of the questions on this form are some of the same questions that we ask you when we talk to you on the telephone.
I think this points to one issue that's on the table right now, which is communication. And since our interim director is in a position that she can't be acting as the go-between between Slavin and the agency, we need to establish a clear line of direction. And that needs to be coming from this committee. As the chair of the committee, I would be the first person, I guess, that you would reach out to. I think that I'm concerned that I don't want the search to be interfering with the activities of the agency. I want the agency to be able to continue in its mission of doing the tasks that are at hand without this interfering with that. And I'm afraid from what I'm seeing and from your discussion today that this was not even a task that was necessary in your eyes, that this would have been something that you would have done. I wonder why they felt compelled to do it. And again, I'm not going to second guess why it was done, but I think that we need to have a clearer line of communication so we know what are the to-dos and so that this body of five is in a better position to understand the timeline and how we're moving forward. So going forward, I'm going to ask that the communication with the TPA be between Slavin and myself as a representative of the executive committee, unless the committee has a problem with that. I'm not seeing anybody say that's a problem. So
I think it should be the whole committee is involved in every communication with Mr. Slavin and his company and back and forth, and then delegate thereon to the staff so that wasted hours are not spent. And, you know, this is, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
This is what we talked about on the phone in a general way, but that was, we signed the contract 101 days ago. And it's good to see you. It's, so we let's focus on what we're going to be going forward with Mr. Slavin as you and our board as the direct conduit for information. And keep in mind that we're here for a mission and a vision for an organization that is integral to the future of our county and our community. And we cannot stay in the weeds like this any further. Just the fact that this communication was, you know, we can all point fingers as much as we want, but 101 days after the communication, if you look at the report that we utilized when we hired Mr. Slavin's company, by now we'd be hiring somebody if we followed the actual timeline that was provided to us. So let's get it done and let's clarify the communication. And then the last thing I do want to say, if I may as well, I'm yapping away anyway, if we do need to communicate to somebody within the Transportation Planning Agency, it's very clear on this opinion letter that was provided to us by a lawyer that also it says that the board sought guidance for this. Did anyone ask for this letter that was in our packet for legal representation? It says here on the letter, the board is seeking guidance as to any potential ethical issues that could arise for an internal candidate submission.
It could have been the general board of TPA, not just us.
It could have just been us too. Well, I mean, we're on that board and I didn't hear about that either. So,
but it could have been someone individually.
All right. That's great. Nonetheless, I'd love to know who did ask for it or if it was something that the board would approve or otherwise. But within that letter that was requested, it does say that, an employee who is not in the customary role of directly reporting to the director needs to be the person on staff direct that is communicating with your company. So within the spreadsheet here, which is the TPA board org chart, we would need to know who's not reporting to the executive director or interim director that could be the point person within the TPA, so that if our board is the conduit, who then do we contact? Because it can't be Ms. Pierce, because she is directly in supervision of our executive director, if you look at this board.
There's nobody on here except the general counsel.
I'm going to recognize, without, if any has no objection, Mayor or former Mayor Grant. Still Mayor?
Still Mayor.
Okay.
Hello, Stephen B. Grant, Mayor for the City of Boynton Beach, TPA member, non-voting member for the Executive Committee. I wrote a quick comment stating that I know I deal with on the TDLCB, I've in the past with Alyssa Goldberg now. And so my statement or comment would be to ask the interim executive director if there's someone on staff to be the go-between between the hiring company, Slavin, and the executive director, executive committee, when this item is up on the agenda. Chair, I don't know if that is within the purview, but that would be my comment, because to try to have you and the rest of the executive committee to be the go-between between the TPA, the interim executive director, and the hiring company doesn't make much sense. I think having an employee, and I know that there are capable employees and at the TPA to be the go-between.
I'm going to have very loose amount of protocols here. So I'm going to have a little conversation with our former member of the TPA. We are in a situation now where every employee is under the direct supervision of the interim executive director. So I'm not sure how you would identify a person who is going to be in that position.
You would ask the interim executive director.
Okay.
I'll jump in. I'm not sure who requested the legal opinion, but we did receive that in January. At the time, we said that's fine that Ms. Pierce be the point of contact, as she's who schedules the meetings and coordinates the board. I was not aware of the amount of time being spent. I've been trying to stay out of this process. My impression was that the board hired the search firm, and that the search firm would coordinate as an independent process with the board, as Mayor Weinroth is explaining. In terms of the internal point person, I think that that role should be clarified by the executive committee. And in terms of a staff, everybody ultimately reports to me. However, there are some staff that are not direct reports. For example, our procurements and grant specialist, the secretary, we have a few staff that are not directly reporting to me. So if I were to say an alternate staff member that does not directly report to me, I would probably say our procurement and grant specialists, but I would like to know, and I'm sure her direct supervisor would want to know, what exactly the role is expected for this point person internally. Is it to receive the documents and save them in a folder, and then that's presented to the board, or what that role is?
So my position as the chair of my former position as chair of the TDLCB, I worked with Alyssa, and she would be running the meeting, so to speak, and compiling all the different information with the outside organization of PalmTran. So if that is something where I would make that suggestion, because I know that she has the capability. I don't know if she's going to be, she's gone though.
Yeah, she's gotten swooped away by a consulting firm. So
I think the best person to answer this is Mr. Slavin, right? I mean, he's the one that's going to be interacting with this individual.
What's your normal protocol? This is not the first time you place someone. That's why we have you here.
The role of the liaison is simply to exchange to be a conduit between our company and you folks, the board, for exchange of information and for setting meetings up,
scheduling dates and meetings and the things that haven't happened for over 100 days,
not producing a recruitment profile.
All right. Okay. I mean, I think this points to the reason why we are all frustrated that 100 days into this, we really haven't made any progress. I think the agency is being impacted negatively because of this problem of communication, problem of the interim executive director feeling that there are issues that she needs to pull herself away from, which is creating, in my view, a problem in the agency. It's already unsettled after the former director departed pretty abruptly, and we need to get to the business that this agency has been charged with. So I'm really concerned that we may be looking at another 100 days before we're looking at applicants for this position. Do you have a timeline that you can give us?
Yes, Your Honor. Let me tell you what I expected to happen today. There'd be some kind of approval of these documents. Tomorrow, I would begin to produce an announcement, and we'd place it in the periodicals this week. The process would begin. It's designed to take no longer than 90 days between the time that we announce it and the time you're interviewing. In this day and age, we're trying to shorten that simply because we're getting qualified candidates, but we're not getting a lot of them. So we've announced the jobs open till filled. The thought being that once we get two or three or four well-qualified folks, we bring them to your attention and we try and get your thoughts about whether or not you want us to focus on any of those people, maybe through a Zoom call or something like that.
So I'm hearing you say that we're looking at July before we are going to be in a position to have a selection.
It could be. It could be sooner. If we announce this week, and by the end of next week, we have four or five outstanding candidates, I'm going to let you know that. Because we're not going to want to wait to get, if we have four or five good ones, we're not going to wait until we have 10 and risk losing the four or five. We're in a very competitive environment now, and you've got some competition.
We're in a very competitive environment, and we're losing employees very quickly because, again, number one, they don't know what the continuity is here. Number two, there are job offers being made with salaries that are much higher than the ones they're getting here. So there are issues, and again, there's an issue of not knowing what the leadership is going to be here. So the longer this thing drags out, the worse it's going to be for the agency. Commissioner Marino?
Well, I have a couple of comments and some questions. One comment would be, regardless of who produced the document, I think the staff here was trying to help you with your job.
Oh, I think so.
And your task for us right now is the document that you have that was prepared by staff. Your question to us is, what is it lacking for you to continue on? Is that correct?
Yes, it does. I want to know what it talks about. What's to be done? It doesn't talk about the management leadership characteristics that I've.
But I'm sure that the management and leadership characteristics would be the same. I mean, we're looking for somebody that has worked in the political arena before and who is not bombastic in their nature. Somebody that is even keel, and I'm sure there's people out there like that. I'm upset about the delay too, but you know, pointing fingers now it's already 90 days later. So I was interviewed by you. I don't know how long ago that was. I was actually surprised by the fact that it did take this long to have a meeting. But you know, I have concerns too about the amount of staff that's leaving, and I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, being hired away. I'd like to know how many staff left in this time period last year. I mean, how, and the person that you're bringing in, you need to know what the people are that worked for them. How long did they last? Did they leave their jobs? So, you know, if you have somebody leading the organization, but you have a lot of turnover, obviously they're not leading the organization. Or if you have a lot of people leaving the organization who are the top, then you have another issue too. So we need to find the mix of who can we hire that has a good track record with their staff members and a good relationship with their staff. And, you know, we can't afford to lose more people, and to have three people just up and leave in the last 2 months where we haven't had three people up and leave in the last year, you know, that says a lot for where the security that they feel here. People have been hiring people away for years. So I don't think that's an issue. I just think that we need more. We need a leader here. And having said all that, I do want to comment on another item that we have on here, and we'll get back to it, I'm sure. But I don't think the interim executive director should be hiring anybody right now, because if the interim executive director isn't the person that becomes the final director, then that final director should have the opportunity to make those hires, not the interim executive director, my opinion. And with that, I think I will save some time for later.
Thank you, Commissioner Marino. Since you have not spoken yet, Councilman Napoleon, your turn.
Thank you. I'll follow up on Commissioner Marino's last comment. I appreciate your comment about the interim director not hiring people now, but if we have a need now, and this might take us three more months, I don't know how long we can function down that many staff members. So there's got to be some line of, we fill the gaps, but we can't just leave positions open indefinitely until we get through this process, having already seen how long this process has taken and could continue to take.
And so I think that would be maybe a question we ask staff.
Okay, Mayor, Vice Mayor.
So let's go back to the motion that we're working on right now.
Vice Mayor, can you turn?
Sorry, my mistake, thank you. Let's go back to the motion that we're approving right now, which is this executive director job profile, which has not been produced to us by Mr. Slavin. We have, this is the profile. Is this what we're approving? Do you want us to approve the profile that the TPA staff put together?
The document in your right hand, Mayor, is Vice Mayor, is a tool I use.
And okay.
It's not for your approval. It wasn't for you to fill out.
All right. So, but this is a motion to approve the executive director job profile, which we've now discovered you did not produce. Is that correct?
But I'm confused. I did look at it. It was sent to me in draft form, and I did go over it. So I had a role.
So why don't we talk about that?
But I did not produce it.
All right. So now I've got here your MPO Orlando executive director
that
you put that together about 2 years ago, I believe. So when you look at the comparison between the two, since this is what we're working on is passing this motion or not, what is different about what you've done before that you produced yourself as opposed to what we've had produced for you by staff on their own accord?
That particular document was... I produced from information I garnered by talking with members of the executive committee of that organization, visiting the work site, and doing a lot of engaging in a lot of conversations and collecting data.
Okay, so but in this case, you didn't have the opportunity to do so with this TPA.
I did, and I produced a document that didn't look like that. But it was the same. The text in that I produced. They took it and put it in a different format.
Sure. Yeah. So that's your usual protocol.
More typically, I would produce that for my client to approve or correct or whatever. And then from that, I would change it and then produce something like that. In that particular case, they had a group of public relations or communication types that produced that document to make it consistent with other publications that they produce. But the language and the data in it is information and data I collected.
Thank you. So in comparison to what you have produced before and what you now have in your hand that was produced for you, can you tell us the differences in what you're seeing when you look at them? If we're going to review this job director profile that
a lot, because I'm sorry.
It's great.
Information at the beginning of the document is about the organization, and that's not going to change. I think as Margie described it, it's information the organization already had, which may be what incited them to go ahead and do it. The part about in the back that talks about the job itself, the job description, you already had one and they included it in here. Sometimes my clients don't have a job description, so I put one together. You had one. There isn't a lot of difference. This does not go into a lot of detail about strengths and leadership style and the ideal candidate characteristics. It goes into minimum requirements. So that your document lacks that. It has some of it, but not all.
Right. And something here, a couple of things. I think my button's not agreeing with me today. There are a couple of things that you noted when you first did your introduction, something about lobbyists and then being
places.
A lobbyist and then the time of experience, I think you also mentioned. So can you elucidate on that a little bit as we make this decision on this motion?
My strong advice is that we cast the net wider than just Florida. We focus on Florida, but we cast the net wider. There are several places in here where it talks specifically about Florida and suggests that requirements are that the person have certification in Florida for lobbying, which they can get when they get here, Florida driver's license. Some of that language could be changed to you'll need to have it, but and be able to obtain it.
So we can't necessarily pass it today if we have a lot of changes to make, is my concern.
If you allow us to change those things, we can pass it today.
All right.
If you don't pass it today, we can't start.
Understood. Okay, thank you.
So go ahead, Mayor. Interject. So you mentioned that there's some leadership traits that you're, that normally when you compile these is it's sort of missing right now.
And I talked to several of you early on, and you've, I've got some notes about that. It is collaborative style. There was a focus on good maintaining, sustaining a good staff, establishing, maintaining relationships with external and internal stakeholders. I've got some of that. But if you've got some thoughts about that, that you wanted to express today, that's great.
Well, I personally think that this is a leadership position. So if we put out there a job description without what we're really looking for in leadership, then it's sort of missing. The other thing that you alluded to, Commissioner Reed, was, which stood out to me, was we're looking for a registered lobbyist to spearhead our organization, because that's what I'm reading here. Am I correct?
And Mayor, I can answer that. And Paul, our general counsel, is on the line. Of a lot of the changes that did come, and you'll see it under 2A1, that was based on our labor department's legal review. So that was one of the additions that they added for the lobbyist.
Okay. That's interesting.
Is that typical for an MPO director anywhere in the country to have a lobbyist certification or
a certified lobbyist
requirement? I've never seen this language before. It's not unusual for an MPO director to be a lobbyist, but not to require it on a recruitment marketing tool.
Is there a reason someone that holds the executive director position needs to be a registered lobbyist? Is there something they can't do unless they are?
I don't think so, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
Yes, but Mr. Chairman.
Go.
The answer to that question is that language we put into the job description, and we highlighted it in yellow when we put it in, with the idea that it may or may not be something that you all might want to require as part of the job description for this position. And it depends on whether or not you're going to want your executive director to engage in any lobbying with legislators. And if he or she does lobby, they will of course need to meet the requirements for the legislature, which is to register as a lobbyist. It's not some sort of intensive exam or something you need to take. You need to fill out an application and file it with the legislature.
Right, so, and that's what I thought it was. So it should be just, you know, willing or eligible to become a registered lobbyist if necessary, not to be one as you're hired. And my question, Mr. Chair, this is more free-flowing, I hope, than just cards.
Yeah,
up and down,
please.
It'll take us even longer.
No, let's just, talk.
My question is, you know, ideally, you would have gotten this form filled out by us and then prepared. No, you would have discussed
it. I would have filled that form out as we talked myself. You wouldn't have filled it out. Okay. That was a risk I took when I sent it. I wanted to give you some idea about the types of things I wanted to discuss today.
Okay. But other than changes regarding Florida, have you had a chance to look at what staff prepared? And do you have any recommended changes to us based upon your experience of what should be in here or what should not be in here, other than the Florida specific things? Because you're the expert. I don't think any of us are.
Well, my advice is whatever thoughts you have today, express to me. Go ahead and express to me, and let me spend some time within the next day or two developing it. It would be a job announcement, which will be based on this and based on conversations we have, and that would be what will go out to the market, and that will start the process. And I can get that back to you and through some mechanism that we that you folks determine today. If it's the chairman of the committee, the mayor, that is a liaison. I'll get it to him. He'll share it with you, or I can get it to each of you, and you get it back to me, and I adjust it. And that can happen within the next day or two. I'm concerned that that I have a boss, if it is the five of you, but I have a way of communicating with you so that what the communication is shared by all of you and it gets back to me. And we have some concerns about open meetings in Florida that needs to be discussed. And so whatever mechanism we use to communicate between my office and you folks has to be done in a manner that is compliant with Florida law. I don't know whether there'll be an internal candidate or not, but if there is, and if it is the interim director, then we need to be careful about, she cannot be involved in the process and her employees should not be involved in the process. So, I mean, there are some issues that are unique to this particular.
Well, I don't think it's unique. I mean, I'm sure in the past, there are situations where an agency is looking for someone and someone is running the place, so they're the interim director. So I don't think that that's all that unique.
It's only unique and I don't know that this would be the case, that if there's somebody who's running the organization that is a candidate for the job, that becomes unique.
All right. I think we all agree we don't have something here that we can approve today. I think that we can have a discussion about it. We can give input to Mr. Slavin, and hopefully he can then generate something that I would think he can then distribute to all five of us with the proviso that if there's communication back, it's only going to be between an individual and Mr. Slavin. If you give me authority to bless this at some point, I don't know, other than holding another meeting, I don't know how we're going to get over this next point.
Who came up with 2A1?
That was from our legal counsel.
Okay.
Paul?
So, Paul, you came up with the executive director job description, and you came up with that based on the information that was
Paul,
already here.
You're going to have to unmute on your side.
No, what happened was, we were sent a draft on staff, and we circulated it. I reviewed it fairly quickly, and one of our labor attorneys also reviewed it to make sure that it's in sync with all the EEO and other requirements that are out there.
Which would not be an unusual procedure than to give this to you, Mr. Slavin, so that you would have a working draft to go by. So would it behoove us to go through this, take about 5-10 minutes and read through it and just see what's in here that is objectionable? And with this and working with Mr. Slavin for a little bit, see if we can come up with something today.
That works for me. Why don't we recess for 5 minutes and let everybody... read.
Before we do that, yeah. can we, I would like to go through the proper process. My conversation with Mr. Slavin was about 5 minutes. It was rushed. I don't feel like I provided adequate input when we had that conversation. It feels like the leadership component of this thing is missing. We have a statement here that was sort of suggested, maybe not. Why are we going to take 5 minutes? Why are we going to rush through this? I know that we're 101 days behind. Why don't we take 2 weeks? We go through the proper channels. We each set up a Zoom meeting with Mr. Slavin. We do what we're supposed to do. We take an extra 15 days. We meet again. And hopefully we have a better product than what we have today. Today, we should figure out the mechanism so that when, as we move forward, we don't have the issue that we had for the last 2 months. I don't mind taking 5 minutes, but I don't think that's what we should do. I think 5 minutes is rushed. We were tasked by the overall board to go through this process, and I don't think I'm doing an adequate job by reviewing something on the fly. That's just my personal opinion.
I spent a good hour on the phone with Mr. Slavin, so I may be coming at, this from a different perspective.
I don't think 5 minutes is enough. I did review this ahead of time because it was in our packet, and we didn't receive it within a week, but we've had almost a week to review it. Not only have I reviewed it, I marked it up. I've compared it to other MPO executive director applications. I've compared it to other MPO applications throughout the entire country. And I'm telling you, that probably took me 2 hours because it was my duty to do that before I got here. So I wish we could all do it in 5 minutes. And I know you are one of the most thorough research people I've ever met before in my life, Commissioner Marino. I have a feeling that when you start delving into it, you too will start Googling and finding as many different MPO applications are out there as possible and ask other people like you always do and do your research. Like I said at the very beginning of this meeting, our county needs this to go well. We need to get someone who can lead us through some pretty exciting opportunities coming up. And you know, when we say opportunities, sometimes it's another word for issues. We want these opportunities to go well. So we're already at 101 days. I think if we take a little bit of time, if there's a way we can have our attorneys chip in that we do it by submission separately, that's great if that's possible. However, I do agree with Mayor Flores. I don't think 5 minutes is gonna cut it. And the one thing I want us to remember is, you know, the one thing we haven't talked about is the mission and vision of the TPA. We're talking about not just the staff. The staff could be completely different in a year. We had an executive director that not only did when he resigned, he didn't even come in for 2 months. And for us to expect for there to be no attrition when we had complete loss of leadership. And now here we are, the executive committee, now getting upset 100 days later that we aren't where we thought we would be. It is an error after an error after an error. And I think we need to stop it right now and follow along, do it thoroughly for the sake of our county and for the mission and vision of the TPA, which goes well beyond all of our tenures.
So Mr. Slavin, from your perspective, because you are the company that's going to go out and do this search, what do you need from us? When do you need it by? And how quickly can you turn that around so that we can put something out to the market? And I don't mean quickly and being inefficient, folks. And I didn't mean that when I said take 5 minutes to read this. We've all read it. I just didn't have my copy with me. But we've taken 90 days and, you know, we don't want to rush it. We want to make the right hire in the first place. I mean, everyone, when they bring in a search team, wants to make the right hire in the first place. We need to ask the right questions when we have the interview process. So what are we lacking that you need to do your job so we can do our job?
Let me respond by going back to this form, which again, normally I would sit down with you and I'd fill it out as we spoke. But if you look at the particularly issues, opportunities and challenges, that I don't have from you. And if you each wanted, you don't have to fill out the form, but if you will get some thought to what those issues, opportunities and challenges are, write them down and get them to me. The qualifications are pretty straightforward, but if you want to take a look at that, that's fine. But this on page 2, it talks about desirable areas of special expertise. This would be a more in-depth requirements then would be this is where if you really needed somebody that's strong in finance or strong in HR or strong in grantsmanship, you'd put it there. How you want to be communicated with by the executive director, not just at meetings, but between meetings. Those kinds of thoughts I'd like to capture from you. That's what's missing in that other document.
Well, I don't think we can leave here without having direction from who you communicate with and how that information
that's
goes back
and going to be
and
critical.
Forth.
And I want to, while you're on that subject, I called each and every one of you based on a list of phone numbers I had when we first started. I talked with, I think, 2 of you initially and then a third. And then when I realized that we did have a meeting now, there were a couple others that I had. And I need to make sure I have the right contact information for each of you.
Before you leave today, you'll have that.
I suspect that that's one of the reasons that things got delayed. Because I, as a matter of fact, I know that one of the cell numbers I had wasn't producing a return call, but then I got another one, a replacement cell number and that worked in a hurry.
That must be mine.
And I think, you know, to save us a little bit of cost, anytime Mr. Slavin can do something by Zoom or by phone, I would be okay with.
Zoom would be fine with me.
Robert, I don't think we can all do it together. I think it has to be individual.
No, it can't be. Well, right. But it would be a public meeting.
Correct. I do want to touch on the subject of who's going to be the liaison for this executive committee and this process moving forward. I think the executive director identified a grant coordinator earlier. I guess my question to you, Mr. Slavin, is how many hours do you foresee this person, the liaison to you and the board, spending a week? And does that ramp up as interviews start lining up? Is it a steady, like, handful of hours? What are we looking at?
It's a to-do type thing. I need to have a meeting set with the executive committee as soon as you can coordinate it. So the person would be getting a hold of each of the five of you and asking you for times that you're available and scheduling a meeting that I either attend virtually or come here to attend.
If this is purely administrative, I think Marge, you can handle it, as long as it's not going to be requiring her to be giving any input or substantive issues. If it's, again, administrative, like you're saying, setting up meetings, making sure that information disseminated out to the five of us, I don't see where that is an issue. You are recognized, Mr. Kumar.
Matthew Kama, the CFO. I just want to point out, now that we have the five of you here, let's establish the expectations for what you want, because we've asked Mr. Slavin, and I know you have experience in doing this, but how many board members need to talk to him to give input? When do we need that done? Like, let's set some targets here now and say, so if it's Margie, whoever's doing it, I'm fine with that, but we need to outline how many board members need to talk. Is it you five? Is it of our 21 member board? How do we get that? How do we land this bird? And let's line out those objectives right now so that we can get that done.
And just to make it clear, this body does not have any authority to make any substantive decisions. We will have to report back to the board in total. And so our next meeting is when?
April 17th.
April 17th. It would be really great if we could get this thing ironed out before April 17th so we can get this in front of the board and everybody can bless it.
We have an executive committee on the 12th too.
All right, the 12th.
That's what I was going to note as well, that you had one tentatively scheduled for the 12th.
Could we set that back a little later that day, since there is also a county commission meeting?
The request came from the chair, so it would be up to him.
Let's go back to the 12th. We have a meeting at 9:30. Right now I've asked for it to be at 1 o'clock. I'm assuming that the board meeting will be over by then, or else Commissioner Marino and I will have to make a decision whether to leave it.
I apologize. I'll put my microphone on.
That's fine.
2 o'clock work?
Will 2 o'clock work for the rest of you?
Yes.
This is important.
All right, then let's move it to 2 o'clock so we don't have to worry about the board meeting going longer. And if it does, I will hand the gavel to Ms. Vice Weiss and
you come and over. I will.
Yeah, the gavel.
Right. All right. So again, let's just all regroup here for a second. I think what you're hearing from us here is we need in here team building, leadership, the soft skills that we're looking for the executive director. I think you're concerned about specific projects that are going to be coming up, whether it's the tax potential of a tax surcharge for sales tax. I wouldn't worry about that. There's going to be things coming up that whoever it is going to have to be nimble enough to be able to handle. So,
but they might have to have experience in it.
Well, some very exciting issues that the person that could be used to sell the job to somebody because of the challenges, positive challenges. I'd like to know about them. If they don't, mention them, and I'll mention them in the marketing tool.
And we can provide that as we work on this with Absolutely. You going forward.
Because you can't make too many things a requirement because we'll have no people.
Well, and let's be real. We don't know what's coming down the pike with the infrastructure money that's going to come from the bipartisan bill. There may be all sorts of things we have to do as far as operating under the working with those, the money's coming and what we're going to have to do for getting grants, you know, submitted and whatever. So I think that we are going to each give our input to Slavin. You are going to have all of our phone numbers before this day is out, so that you'll have no problem contacting us and emails. Margie will continue as an administrative contact between the five of us and the agency. But just, I don't want you putting on her shoulders more than administrative tasks at this point.
And I fully understand that. Okay. I would suggest that for the purpose of being liaison between my company and you folks, that she work for you, Mayor, rather than for Valerie. If that, if you can make that distinction so that she doesn't feel...
I was going to say, do you want the org chart change where I just report to the board?
Just I'm sorry, Margie.
Do you want the organizational chart changed where I report to the board during this period of
time? No, the organization chart doesn't just need to be amended at this point. No.
For this purpose.
Yeah. Mayor, you wanted to speak?
I just want to say that it should just be scheduling stuff. The communication should be between the board members. So.
And any of the product being produced should come directly from your company, which we hired you to do. Directly.
The value to the a liaison being here is that there can be a control point that information comes from me to that liaison. If it's here, then it goes out to all of you, comes back through that liaison to me, and Margie would know, if it's Margie, who sent it back and how to. And to make sure, kind of tally that.
So the org chart we have now is Slavin to executive committee, and then Mayor Weinroth back and forth to Margie, and Margie to us for scheduling primarily.
Yeah, but it doesn't take a lot of her time. It's a matter of sending out an email to each of you all at the same time and having you folks be asked to get it back to me through her at a specific point in time.
It's like herding kittens, but she does it all the time. So
I would add
it.
It's like a
but I don't
thing.
Expect her to put down everything else and do that. And as I said, I didn't ask her to produce this document. I can't tell you I wasn't happy to see it, but I will tell you that it surprised me, and it was a good document. So we worked on it a little bit. There were some changes we made to it as a result of a conversation that between she and I, and then she sent her a corrected or updated version of it to you.
So
it's my job to have done.
You can disseminate something to the entire group. We understand as electeds that we cannot respond to you and copy each other in on it. We will only respond to you directly.
But let me ask Paul, since you're on here, Paul, if we designate Margie as the point person, and we're doing it in an open group right now, would that be a conflict of your letter?
No, I don't think it would. The only thing I'm concerned about is Sunshine Law, and that gets to the point that I think it's best that any final decision on this be made at a meeting of the executive committee. We can't have members exchanging emails with each other, and we can't have them sending emails to one person who's then going to sort of add things up and see what the answer is, kind of thing.
Paul, there's no problem with each of us giving our input to Mr. Slavin, no. Him distilling it down for a report back to us on April 17th in an open meeting, is there?
No, there is not.
Okay, very good. Margie, your card is up.
Yes, I have two questions. One is related to what you just said, actually. Your April 17th or the April 12th meeting?
12th, I'm sorry.
Okay. And then just to confirm, for our benefit, when we're putting the agenda together, the only item that you're going to ask for is this item again, is 2A. For the job description and the job profile brochure.
So far, we may have some more discussion with operational issues. Right.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Mr. Slavin.
There will also be an announcement, which will be basically a classified advertisement that's based on the profile, which again is in some ways more important than the profile because that's what causes us to be able to get the word out. So you'll have profile. I don't know about the job description. That's an internal document here, but you'll have the profile and the announcement.
Ms. Slavin, nobody asked you if you're going to be available on the date of that meeting.
I just wrote it down. I have a doctor's appointment in the morning, but if I'm here virtually, yes.
All right. Well, you don't have to be here in person, and we appreciate you being here today.
Mr. Slavin, at the beginning of the meeting, you mentioned that you wanted to also take time to meet with the staff. Do you want to do that in part of this before the 12th? Is that?
Yes. I would like to do it. I think they want to talk with me, or some of them do. And I get a perspective about the organization from talking with people who are in this building 40 or more hours a week than I, you folks are my boss. And obviously what you say goes, but I get a better understanding of the texture and the complexity of their organization by talking with staff. And I'd like to do that.
I think that probably can be accomplished through a Zoom call. There's no necessity for you to have to travel here for that.
I do have a question regarding what you just said. Is that the standard procedure? Because you said that some of them want to talk to you, or is that just...
I don't know that they want to talk to me. I understand they were disappointed when I was scheduled to come here and talk with them initially. And I understood maybe an error that they were disappointed when that didn't happen.
Okay.
So, Mr. Slavin, how much time do you have here today?
I think I have a flight at 6:30 or something.
So you have a little bit of time before you leave, flying out of Palm Beach, right?
Yes.
You can say hello to mine and Bob's pictures when you're leaving. But I would say take some time this afternoon to talk to whoever you can before you leave.
All right. Are we all in agreement? Yeah. Valerie, your card is up. Did you want to give us some input?
I just wanted to chime in and say I appreciate the committee clarifying the role, and I am fine with Margie continuing to being the point person. She is also my executive assistant, so I do need that help, and I am filling in for both my former role and the current role, so we are, there is a lot on the plate, so I also appreciate that. We are a staff of actually half of our staff is fairly new. Seven of our staff have been here less than a year and a half. Two of them left in this transition. So it is a time of a lot of transition, a lot of new staff. So anyways, I just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah, we will deal with a couple of issues aside from the actual issue of the search after we get this nailed down.
Do we need a motion to table this, or?
I guess we should, just for formality, get a motion to table.
I'll make a motion.
And it's to the date certain of April 12th. Okay. I have a second by the vice chair. All in favor, all opposed. Okay. So this is tabled now to our next meeting at April 12th. Okay. Mr. Slavin, I think we are done in this item, and you should feel free if you'd like to have some conversation with members of the staff who want to depart from the meeting and not take advantage of being here.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm still unclear as to when I'm going to get information from you folks to prepare for next.
What exactly do you want from us right now?
The information about issues and opportunities and style. I talked with three of you about that, and I've got information from those phone calls. It was only the brief conversations that we had that I didn't take the time, and I should have, but that was so close to this meeting that it was kind of a different agenda, and I apologize for that. But and I do need to know how to reach each of you by cell phone.
You have that.
You're about Margie's to get that.
We pass
it around.
I want to make sure I don't leave messages.
But we need to set a
why don't we do a time certain for us to get this to Mr. Slavin?
All right. Are you saying you have five of us? Who do you still need information from? Obviously, Mayor Flores feels he hasn't given you a lot of information.
And we talked the other day, and we didn't talk for very long. And I don't, Michael, I don't
spoke
know.
About half an hour, 45 minutes. Yeah. But when we spoke, I was not under the impression that what I had was prepared by staff and not you. So I would have looked at this differently had I known it was staff product, not your product. So I want more time to look at this, but I'll get you myself by Friday.
All right. That's terrific.
Are we good? Okay, thank you, Mrs.
I think by Friday,
By Friday, yeah. Whatever input we're going to give you, you will have by Friday.
And I will just tell you, I have just picked up the phone and called Mr. Slavin myself, and he answers right away. And if he doesn't, he gets back to you within about 48 hours. So I do encourage everyone to keep that line of communication open as much as humanly possible so that we can all do our
Is it job. A hard day or a soft day?
Today?
Slavin or Slavin?
Slavin.
Yep.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Very good.
But I'm so used to being pronounced the other way that it.
Okay.
All right. Very good. To recap, we're going to get this filled out and to Mr. Slavin before Friday. Because this way, if you have questions and you need to call him, you can do that.
Don't need to worry about the qualifications on that, but just the information that we discussed.
All right. Both. Very good. Thank you again, Mr. Slavin.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Valerie, would you talk to us a little bit about these positions that you would like to have us consider giving you authority to hire?
Sure. So in the interim executive director contract, and let me turn on my camera, it does say that the interim director must consult with the board before hiring, firing, or promoting any positions. So I asked the attorney what that meant, and this was a new clause because he said usually interim directors are able to do the same thing as executive directors, but my approach was to bring this to the board as a motion to allow us to advertise and fill these vacancies. We have two vacancies and then a third one that's leaving this week, a transit coordinator, a pedestrian and bicycle coordinator, and the planner one. As I mentioned, seven of our staff we have a total of 15 staff currently. When I started, 14, and now we're down two with a third one. So and the seven, half of the staff have been here for less than a year and a half. Two of these positions, the two that are currently vacant, are positions that we hired in October of 2020. One of them was a new position that we created, the transit coordinator. So we have not identified anyone for number one and two. Number three, the planner one, which was also a newer staff member that joined us in the last year and a half, left in January to work for a consulting firm. Actually, all three positions are going to work for consulting firms, work from home, to better positions or better opportunities, or just better, positions that fit their lifestyle. So these are the three positions that we have. We have interviewed and identified a candidate for the Planner One position, which is support on the multimodal team. And then additionally, we had a student reach out to us from that would like to do a fellowship with us, an internship that would be free from May through July. So I wanted to see if we can bring that person on board.
All right. And you don't even mention the fact that there's a deputy position open. All right. Now, Paul, in the contract that Valerie was just referencing, it doesn't say approve. It says, what was the verb?
Consult. With the
consult.
Yeah.
Can we use this forum as the method of consultation and give her the authority to go ahead and move forward and then report it to the board for final approval rather than losing another 3 weeks on doing any recruitment or decisions on this?
Yes, I think you can.
All right. So I'm looking for some discussion or some motions. Commissioner?
I've already said my piece.
I'm sorry.
I said I've already said my piece.
And your piece is, do we or do we not move forward on these positions?
I don't feel we should, but I do feel we should bring in the intern. So, but that's my opinion. I'm just opining.
Opining. Mayor?
How many vacancies do we have, Valerie?
We currently have four. My former position, which my understanding from the board, maybe I'm wrong, but was that the board wanted to hold off on hiring that position. And then three planners. So the one, two, three that we have, the intern is a bonus that they want to come do an internship.
By the way, give that intern the opportunity. In my opinion,
yeah,
give that
we're intern excited.
The opportunity. I don't, if it's not going to cost us anything, I don't even, why couldn't we approve that? But in regarding to deliverables, how is this not having these four positions filled? How is that going to affect the output of your work moving forward? Is it going to hinder your success being able to, you know, bring timely things to the meeting? Just give me a quick overview of what's happening.
Is it going to overwork current staff that we may wind up with more attrition because they're doing the work of other people?
Correct.
That they don't want to do, they'll get a better job that pays more somewhere else.
We've already had agendas getting to us late. There have been a couple of things that are definitely slipping through the tracks and we've got all kinds of plans coming up.
Sure. So, we have, as I mentioned, we have identified a planner one position that would really help. The other two, the pedestrian and bicycle coordinator, which is their last week, that position does fill a role of a liaison to one of our committees. So it is an extra burden on staff to fill that role. The transit coordinator, as I mentioned, was a new position that we created. And it's a more easily absorbable role for myself, for consultants. The multimodal team staff are more so initiatives and support items that we can have consultants help us with, other than those committees. And I mentioned the Vision Zero Advisory Committee that the Ped Bike Coordinator fills. And then we also have a TD-LCB committee, a Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board. They meet four times a year, so they do have a meeting at the end of May, but the planner one could potentially help serve in that role. I guess what I'm saying is that I for sure would like to at least hire a planner one. I'm grateful to have an intern. The other two, other than the committee, we could have consultants help absorb or postpone some of the tasks. As I mentioned, they're more strategic plan items. They're more kind of initiatives for PedBike. They're not core deliverables that we have to produce as an agency, which is more Andrew's team in terms of the transportation improvement program, our long-range transportation plan, documents that we have to produce as an MPO.
Commissioner, I know what you're saying as far as trying to leave the task to a permanent executive director, but I think we don't have the opportunity to
wait. I have a follow-up question.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. Valerie.
Trying to.
No, listen, I'm flexible, honest to God. Valerie, in a normal week, can you give us an idea of which programs you're spending time on? Is it equally divided along all the programs we have? Are you concentrated more in one than another because you feel a shortage there? So can you describe that to us?
Sure. I'm definitely involved with the core products, but I'm spending time absorbing and trying to carry forward. As I mentioned, we have consultants who can help with, for example, we're doing complete street design guidelines and things like that we committed to do. I'm more so the point person, but definitely trying to fill in and continuing to work with really all of our lead staff on our leadership staff on the things that we've developed. So the multimodal team is running slim since my position's formally is open, my former position. So I am spending some time on that, but juggling in between and also being the executive director, making sure everything's moving forward. Just jack of all trades at this point.
From a continuity standpoint, and from the fact that several of these are newer, relatively new positions, if we were to say yes, pick the one thing that's the most important on this, then you would pick planner one?
I would say that the either the planner one or the ped bike coordinator, which the planner one can help fill in a lot of the ped bike coordinator roles, but the ped bike coordinator, the one key task they are that liaison to that month. But again, we could potentially have a staff or a consultant help fill that liaison role. So we've identified a planner one that we'd like to hire. So the other two are just advertise and see if we find a good candidate. But that can be either put on hold or just kind of cast the net and see when we get to that point of finding someone.
Thank you.
All right, before I get to Councilman Napoleon, I think we also need to recognize we have other issues on the table. We have an accounts payable issue that has been brought to my attention that we may need to bolster that department. And we have an HR decision to make as far as getting some real specialized attention to HR. Right now, the process is not as clean as it needs to be, especially if there is a situation where an employee feels the necessity to have HR assistance in a confidential situation. And I think that we need to address both of those at the same time we're discussing this particular issue of the planner one, the interim or the intern, and whatever else we might want to decide as far as staffing going forward. Councilman?
I might defer to the CFO who stood up, who probably has better things to say.
I just wanted to clarify from the agreement. There was a discussion that you would have to consult and then it would have to go to the board. It needs to come to you. You have that authority per the agreement with the interim director to authorize her, consult with her to make that decision. I just wanted to clarify that. It doesn't have to go to the board to make these decisions. You can make that.
Okay. All right. Michael, you have anything else?
A couple of comments. I think our council can just confirm that the position we're talking about filling, these are at-will positions, right? They're here as long as they're here. There are no contracts.
I think everything is at-will except the interim executive director.
So, you know, I'm a little concerned advertising for an executive director, having them come in to an understaffed agency where their first job is not getting the work done, but finding people to hire to get the work done. So if we have mission-critical roles to fill, we should fill those as we find people that are able to do the job, because if they don't work out, the new executive director can make a change if needed. But I'd rather not keep positions vacant until the day we have an executive director in place. I think that's wrong. That's not the right strategy for that. Also, as far as HR, do we not have anyone that does HR in-house? No official.
Margie's been doing duty as HR, but admittedly, she's really not schooled in HR. She's more in, I'm talking in front of you. You tell me if I'm wrong. You're more an administrator of HR versus a trained professional as an HR person.
Correct. Although I do have HR training, it's not my entire job description. The areas of concern do go to our labor attorney for him to address those concerns. So if staff does come to me with concerns, they are provided to our labor attorney for him to review and address and move forward if there are.
Which is probably not the best process.
That's actually scary. Yeah. I think we need to really look at the policies and procedure manual for the safety of the board and the staff. Go ahead.
And I was gonna say, I would think that for an organization of this size, you would need to hire an in-house HR person. There's outsourcing companies that do that. You can outsource your HR to a third party who would do that instead of having to take on the added expense of a position. If we needed an HR person, I would suggest we outsource it.
Did that for several of our different companies that we had over the years. And if we wouldn't have the amount of liability that's on the shoulders of your board and your staff is immense.
Right. And
horrified to hear that and think that we need to act on that very, very quickly.
Can you also clarify accounts receivable?
Yeah, can you give us the state of the workflow within your department as far as your ability to handle the inflow and outflow?
Sure. So I'm a CFO, kind of COO. I carry many hats. And so I do IT. I do all of our accounting. We do have a grant and procurement specialist, and she's been a great help, a great add to the team. But honestly, there's just a lot required. And then in the new fiscal year, starting in July, there's additional requirements and additional reporting required of us. And in respect to that, to be on time with our reports, to provide all of the services that are necessary for this agency, there's just only so many hands that we've got that we need another team member.
Are we looking for what level of expertise? Is it a clerk? Is it a bookkeeper? Is it an accountant? What are we looking at?
I'm looking for an early experienced accountant is what I'm looking for. So he's got this individual would have some experience. And then obviously I can guide them in the additional things that they need, but I can hand off things to them. I have a couple slides I could show you.
Could you have a job description for us for the 12th?
I will.
Would that be acceptable to everybody?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. I do have a point of clarity.
Sure.
Because I know that we work on a refund basis. Would that position also be refunded? Or how do we fund this position? I guess that's the proper question.
So within the budget that we've created for fiscal 23 and 24, we've incorporated that we brought in draft to you to make decisions. So that position is grant reimbursable. It's completely eligible in all those activities, and it is funded in our budget.
Good.
And I do have a breakdown, like I said, of exactly how that would work.
Okay. Let me ask you a second question. In line with what the mayor is just talking about, if we do an HR position, if we go outside for expertise versus if we hire someone inside, how would that be impacting the budget?
Are you referring to the HR position right now?
And if we have, again, we're saying Margie's task on a day-to-day basis of more administrative is one role, but the role of, again, HR expertise for handling problems.
Sure.
Okay. That person, whether we make the decision to go to an outside vendor or bring it in-house and hire a person, financially, would that be included in our grant that we've received from the government?
So the activity would be grant reimbursable, would be eligible for that. That a position for that is not, I didn't build that into the budget. I can restructure some things, but it would take some adjustments in the budget. That's why it's a draft right now. So that can be done. So there would be two options if we wanted to do that. If we want a consultant firm who does that, I may need to, either way, it's more money to be spent on something specific. So I would need to.
So you would look for an amendment to the budget that we would bring back to the full board at some point in the future?
I think it would depend on the timeline, because we have a draft budget that's going to take effect on July 1, and then I don't have to amend it to do it. If we want to do it immediately, it's going to take me a little time to get the budget adjusted, and I could bring that perhaps in May for you to do it in a more immediate fashion.
Thank you. I'm looking for some input, whether we think that this is a position we want to make in-house or this is a position that we want to recommend to the board that it be outsourced.
I think we outsource it.
Outsource.
It's a lot more efficient.
1,000%.
I got three outsource.
Yeah, we've done
all right,
several times.
And we're going to outsource. So what we need from you, Ms. Nielsen, is a quick and dirty set of information as far as appropriate consulting agencies that handle this type of work, and that we can then address on April 12th. And that will be another item for the agenda.
And I'll make a motion to approve all three positions plus the internship.
I have a motion to approve all three plus the intern. Do I have a second?
I will second.
Okay, I have a second by the vice chair. All in favor, all opposed? Okay, we'll have all those approved. Paul? We've just approved those positions. Do we need to put this on the agenda for the full board to ratify our decision?
I think based on the contract wording with Ms. Nielsen, you do not.
Okay. Then we will have it just as a point of, we'll report it to the board, but we won't be putting it on as an action item.
For my correct clarification, I want to say mayor, but chair, do you want this under your member comments, or are you asking us to have a separate item as far as like under partner agency updates where?
Under chair's remarks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then just so you're aware, the minutes from the December meeting are going to be included Yes, will be included to receive and file on the April 17th agenda, but not the minutes from today because you haven't approved them.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right.
I do want to say one quick thing.
Yes.
If this is time for comments, I think this is, like I said, whenever there's a problem, we always have to call it an opportunity. And because of the change of direction that the previous executive director has put us on, it's been a little bit of a sinking ship, unfortunately. But I do feel like what we've done today gives us the opportunity to build off of some of those changes, to be a more cohesive group together and fill in the gaps for what our staff needs, as well as get our communication a lot stronger and accomplish tasks in a timely manner going forward. I feel like we're righting the ship.
And I would say the same thing, that I think that when this agency was reestablished outside of the county's oversight, I think that there may have been some issues that weren't really addressed. And I think what we're talking about today, HR and the bolstering of the accounts payable, are two of those situations that will hopefully correct what was an oversight before.
I think we also need a wish list from staff as to, and that's why we're here, for one of the reasons, what do they see in 5 years? How big do we need to be in 5 years? What other departments are we missing? And for our, for Mr. Slavin, Slavin, Slay, capital. I mean, strong A, long A. We need to really come up with a complete wish list ourselves. As Mayor Weinroth said, whether we do the transportation surtax or not, somebody should probably have experience in bringing a surtax on a ballot or some other referendum on a ballot, knowing the political process, working with political figures. I mean, that is something we definitely need as one of their job attributes.
Understood. Anybody else for the good and welfare? All right. Valerie, then we are just going to make note of the fact that, notwithstanding what's in the notes here, we are meeting on the 12th at 2:00. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Did you want to say something, Valerie? Valerie had her.
Valerie, do you have your card up?
Thank you all for the for our first executive meeting. Apologies that the agenda was late. Just for clarification and confirmation, as the chair mentioned, I will be setting the agenda, as it's my role for the executive committee and the board. However, I will be excusing myself from anything that has to do, any items that have to do with the search firm. So I just wanted to mention that. And in terms of the wish list, and I mentioned it during my interim director's report, that we've been independent now for a little over 2 years. And so it's a good time to revisit our policies, procedures, and insurances for best practices, and just to ensure that for liability as well. So thank you.
Very good. And I thank my colleagues for making your time available today. I think this was a constructive meeting. We are adjourned.